Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the Tech Reformation. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank. So I found out today, or no, sorry, I found out yesterday something very sad. I brought my cat into the vet because she was losing a lot of weight. She lost like 4 pounds in less than a year, maybe 3 pounds. And then she was peeing a lot. Michelle kept saying she was taking care of 3 cats and drinking a lot. So we're like, oh, we'll just bring her to the vet to get a checkup. Turns out that she has diabetes. So I didn't even know cats could get diabetes. But yes.
Ooh, I didn't either.
It's a thing.
We now will be giving insulin injections regularly to our cat. So
you're not one of those to just let your cat die a peaceful death instead of forcing it to continue existing?
Well, I mean, she can live a normal cat life with insulin. We have discussed, like, I mean, as much as we love her, she is a cat, so how much money are we willing to spend? And so, like, we're actually going to have to make an emergency plan, like, when do we cut it off? But, like, she doesn't have terrible diabetes, which there's, I don't remember the word, but there's a form of diabetes and there's a form of terrible diabetes. So she has the less terrible one.
Pretty sure that is the word I've heard veterinary surgeons using, you know. Terrible, less terrible, non-terrible.
Yeah. So we expect her to live a pretty normal life and without costing us very much money, like maybe double what we're paying, which is just food right now. So hardly anything.
Okay.
And then there's always the silver lining of, you know, like diabetes. You can get a handicap sticker for that nowadays. So
you just have to bring your cat everywhere.
So as long as she's in your car with you, you can park wherever you want.
I mean, as long as we can get the sticker, we don't have to have her with us, right? Isn't that how it works?
Right.
But yeah. But really, we won't...
That's right. Check out the sticker, not the driver.
We won't have to take too much care of her. Really, it'll all be on her parents because after this coming Monday, we're actually leaving for training in Richmond, and our cat will go to Michelle's parents, and then she won't be coming to Japan with us, so we actually only have about a week of taking care of her left. So, like, thanks for taking care of our cat. Here's all her insulin and her medical needs.
Yep.
But that also means for us, or for me, that I won't be on the podcast for the next couple of weeks. So just a warning to all the listeners out there, you won't get to hear my lovely voice for a little while.
All the Tank fanboys and girls will have to go without.
Yeah.
And there are many, by the way.
You guys can give me a call, any of my groupies.
But we'll miss you, buddy.
Yeah, indeed.
I'll miss doing it. Hopefully I'll be able to get back and be consistent pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Yes. Training shouldn't be too bad, so I should be able to stay consistent, I think.
Cool. Hope so.
This is Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from throughout the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. As Apple has done the past couple years, they have released the public beta of iOS 10 for all to install, providing you have an iPhone that's an iPhone 5 or later. Be warned that this may or may not mess up your phone since it is a beta, but I've had fairly good luck with it last year and this year, for I have installed it and I'm enjoying it.
What kind of phone do you have, Derek?
I have an iPhone 5S, so I was a little...
Wow, and it hasn't slowed it down?
Maybe a little bit, but I was expecting it to be much worse than it is. Like, I was fairly terrified. Like, last year, when the beta came out, I was fairly confident that it would be fine. But this year, man, my 5S is getting old enough now that I'm like, But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And I'm really enjoying the style of the... of the new OS.
Any cool new features?
Well, I really need someone else who I know to have installed the beta so I can send them messages with fireworks on the screen and everything.
Derek texted me in all of his desperation last night about, or yesterday, I guess, about... No, it was early this morning.
It was like 5 o'clock this morning, which everyone should be up at 5 o'clock.
Last night for me, I was not awake. And he was like, I need you to install the new beta so that we can send emojis to each other. I've not succumbed to the peer pressure yet, but I won't be surprised if I do.
Do it.
We'll see. I did the iOS 9 public beta, and I only had... I don't know. I felt like it was a lot slower, and whenever I uninstalled it, I had the system update badge on the settings app for like ever. It was the worst.
Well, you can take off the certificate that authorizes your device to be an iOS device, iOS beta device.
I know. I tried that.
Oh.
And it didn't work.
Oh, that's a shame.
Eventually, I got it to go away. I don't know how. Maybe a backup or something. Anyway.
The U.S. Senate will finally stop using BlackBerries. BlackBerry's most loyal customer has always been the U.S. government, but it looks like things are changing, for the Senate at least. According to a memo, the Senate is ending its years-long relationship with BlackBerry and says that once the Senate runs out of on-hand BlackBerry devices, that's it. I feel like this is the only place I see BlackBerry phones used anymore.
Actually, I tweeted about this being another death knell in the coffin or something like that. Some, you know, snazzy language. And someone tweeted back, I have an Android BlackBerry device and I like it. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to offend anyone. I just thought no one had BlackBerry anymore.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can safely offend those people because there's not many of them.
Yeah, for the percentage of the population, they're like, you know. Yeah, they actually just released like 3 more phones this week, so they're still keeping at it, but yeah, slowly they're dying.
That was Eric Bouchard, by the way, and he wasn't being snippy at all. I was just that's my impression voice. Everyone's snippy when I give impressions of them.
Samsung has announced the world's first UFS memory cards, which would succeed microSD in the arena of teensy-tiny storage. The company announced this week the world's first removable UFS memory cards, offering storage capacity of either 32, 64, 128, or 256 gigabytes, and performance speeds that blow older formats out of the water. And they are like, they're just like smaller than a thumbnail. Like, it's insane how tiny they are. Technology, man.
Sounds like something I'd lose really easily.
Well, most of the time it should probably be in your phone, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Snapchat update in...
Are we talking about Snapchat again? No, that was for Ben. That was purely for Ben's benefit.
Yes, we are, Craig. They keep doing things. And actually, they're being sued this week, but we're not talking about that. So Snapchat update is introducing a memories feature now for saving snaps, including My Eyes Only mode. Memories lets you capture and save pictures and videos in Snapchat instead of on the camera roll in Apple's Photos app by default. Snaps that you take in the moment can also be saved to memories and then reused in your story later on. Snaps used in stories from memories will feature a special frame to let viewers know it's from sometime before. And Snapchat also highlights the ability to search for memories using keywords. But not everyone will have access to memories just yet. Snapchat says it will be rolling out memories selectively over the next month or so, so keep an eye out for the update in your app.
Go ahead, Craig. Let's have it.
I have no words. I have no words.
Have you tried Snapchat?
I have. I Snapchatted you and Derek during an episode one week. About 3 times, I think.
I don't know. Okay. I think there's still a Snapchat sitting in your inbox that you have yet to open for me.
That's because I deleted the app. Because I decided that I think my thing is, if I want to send a picture to someone, I would probably pull out my phone, open up Instagram, because that's what I already have 500 photos on or something.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Instagram photo and then direct Instagram it to someone, which is something you can do as well. The whole gimmick of disappearing after 10 seconds, I have no use for. So,
well, it's gone now.
That's the reason I deleted it.
Now you can save it forever.
But that defeats the purpose of Snapchat, does it not?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't understand it. You know, I do understand it. Words have no meanings anymore. Up is down, out is in, blue is red.
Snap is save.
Turkey door tree cat.
Yeah, Snapchat is no longer self-destructing photos. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's because it's realized Instagram is better and it's now just trying to, it'll slowly make steps towards just being a, you know, an instant photo taking service instead.
Craig, how does it feel to be so wrong and so passionate about it?
It feels good because I'm not wrong on this side of the equator. I'm the most right host in the southern hemisphere of this show.
Hey, that's true. You're right. You are right about that.
I think Tank needs to settle the Snapchat debate. He seems so neutral. He's like Switzerland on Snapchat.
I've never touched Snapchat, and I don't expect to ever touch it.
Yes. So,
why not?
Why not? I just can't see myself using it. Like, that's what text is for, now Slack is for. Oh,
I'm beginning to wonder if you guys are even millennials. Sheesh.
if we're even millennials.
It doesn't mean we have to take up every trend. I never really took up the trend of, like, you know, low crotch pants where you can see my underwear hanging out the back and stuff.
Yes, but this isn't clothing reformation, Craig. This is tech reformation. We have to use all the tech.
Ben just looked at me like he didn't understand that reference. Did that not go through America?
Not sure.
It was a skateboarding thing. Skate culture, I think, was where it came from. Anyway, we are way off the track of where this is meant to be.
Yeah, back on track.
I agree. We're not clothing reformation, so let's get back on with it.
Amazon-owned Audible has announced a new service called Channels, which has been in beta for a few months, one that differs from its typical audiobook business in offering more bite-sized content from original content producers, as well as recordings of news stories from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, and others. The original programming will be rolling out over time, covering comedy, investigatory journalism, like, you know, serial ripoffs, and talk shows, which is really just Amazon applying the Netflix Prime Originals models to audio content. And while these aren't really podcasts and Audible doesn't call them as such, this feature seems to be tapping into that same market. And I've tried it. It's actually pretty good.
Let's just pretend the tweet about Audible releasing podcasts was satirical, so that way I don't look really dumb.
Well, it is kind of like they're yeah, that was kind of what it was reported on for a long time. I don't know if they've changed their angle, but you know, it's essentially that same kind of thing, so you're okay. 500,000 hoverboards have been recalled because of fire hazard, which we've talked about this before being an issue for many hoverboards, but now it is official. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is coordinating the recall of 500,000 hoverboards across 8 different brands sold between June 2015 and May 2016 because their lithium-ion batteries can catch fire. The CPSC says hoverboards can be returned for a full refund, a free repair, or a free replacement, depending on the model. Pokemon Go is now available in the US for iOS and Android. After some initial issues with servers and whatnot, you can now play the augmented reality mobile game for yourself. This is Nintendo's second game released for mobile devices, and from what I can tell, it is super popular, which we will be talking about in just a little bit. That's all the tech you should know this week. If we left something out you think we should have thought about, please feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com. And for more tech you should know throughout the week, follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation.
And that brings us to Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we feature one technology in great detail. Well, sometimes great detail, sometimes less detail, and sometimes medium detail, and tell you why you should use it and what's great about it. And this week is Pokemon Go week. So Pokemon Go came out a few days ago, as Derek noted. I guess yesterday as we're recording this. And it is awesome. Well, hold on. It is ... We're going to talk about it. Me and Tank have been using it. Derek's checked it out. Craig, have you tried it?
No, but I'll download it now. I'm hoping it's not like another Snapchat.
No, it's not like another Snapchat.
It's a completely different
No, as in, like, I hope I'm hoping I have a reason to keep it on my phone.
It is exclusively a game. It's not like social media really at all. I don't even know if you can communicate with other people in it yet. I have not done an extensive test of everything you can do with it, but here's the basic idea. It is augmented reality geolocation game. So everyone's familiar with Pokemon, who's our age probably, because when they grew up, it was very, very popular.
Unless your parents forbid you from playing it or watching
true.
It.
You might not be as familiar with it as I am, because I collected every one of the first 151 Pokemon trading card games, cards in the trading card game, and I still have them to this day in a red binder in the next room. And
wow.
I was a smart kid, because the day that I got the 151st card that I needed, they released the next 100 Pokemon. And I said as a child, you know what, forget this, they're just going to do this every time I get them all. And I quit that day. Anyway, Pokemon Go is for all those people like me who were frustrated with the trading card game. No, just kidding. I don't know. It's for all those people who love Pokemon. You can catch them in the real world, basically. So you go around your neighborhood or your city or even the country, even the world, and you can use the app to see. It's basically there's a map on the app, and your guy is the marker. Whenever you get close enough to Pokemon in the wild, you see them on the map, you tap on them, and you can throw a Pokeball. Looking at your scenery around you, and it puts a Pokemon in there. So, like, if I'm in my house, it puts a little Pokemon in my living room, like a Charmander, and I flick the Pokeball at it and try to catch it. So that's the main meat of the game. You try to catch them all.
So it's the same as Pokemon.
But yes.
But semi-real world.
There are some neat features that's the extent of my knowledge experientially. But I've heard that there are some neat features around points of interest in the real world. So we have a donut shop in Memphis that's like known around the country, possibly the world, called Gibson's. And Gibson's on Pokemon Go is a Poke Gym. So you can battle Pokemon at this location. If you get close enough, you tap on it, and then you can do whatever it is that you interact with it. Special locations like police stations and churches are Poke Stops, where you can buy more Pokeballs and do other things. And of course, the game will take your money for coins, which you can use to lure Pokemon to you with various things you can buy in the game, with coins or whatever. The last thing I'll say is, as by way of introduction, is this. My wife downloaded the game before I had, and she proceeded to express her frustration to me when I got home from work, in that she can't just sit on the bed and play it because it is geolocation centered. You have to actually go somewhere to get to the Pokemon. And so we tested it out because we were driving to the store anyway, and so she had it up in the passenger seat, and it works pretty well. If you're driving around trying to catch Pokemon. So, yeah, it's been fun. We've checked it out, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll use it again, but it's fun so far. I might catch them all. What do you guys think?
I just don't want you guys to set your hopes too high on goals and whatnot, because I'm going to be the very best. Like, no one is. Yeah, Michelle and I went out for a couple hours and played, and I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's very easily to get addicted to, at least not this point. Like, it was fun. I can't imagine myself spending a lot of time on it. Like, it's not that great. I mean, it's definitely enjoyable and worth the time to look into and then maybe pull up every once in a while and mess with. So, but one thing I really thought was cool about it, is what Anna said, what Ben's wife said she didn't like about it, is that you have to go walk around and catch the Pokemon. One, I think it's cool because it's like the games in the sense of, like, you have to walk around and go wander until you find the Pokemon. You can't just be like, all right, I have to go here and there's going to be this Pokemon and I'm going to get it. It's like you have to go search for it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a cool concept.
Just like you would if you were actually in the Pokemon world. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, the cool thing about it is that it's, I feel like, far and away the most massively used augmented reality implementation that we've seen so far, and people are loving it. Like, it's top of the App Store charts, you know, in Australia and I think in the US, and that's pretty cool. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is good for exercise. Like, I actually ran into a couple on bikes and they're biking around the different Pokestops and trying to catch Pokemon and stuff. And so it's a fun little silly date night if you and your spouse enjoy, or girlfriend slash boyfriend, I guess, enjoy Pokemon, and it'll get you out, get you exercising. So yeah,
I think of it as geocaching for a new generation.
that's a good
it's
way
not
to
not a bad
that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear, Derek, did your parents not let you play Pokemon?
I was never allowed to experience any Pokemon at all. Now, we'd never had like video game consoles in the house either, so or like handheld video games in the house, just because that was, you know, the limit that they placed, which I'm fine with that. I don't understand why they didn't especially like Pokemon, but you know, I guess whatever. I mean, everyone's so fanatical about Pokemon. Like, I just have no context for why in the world it's cool. But you know, cool. Good on you guys. Enjoy.
It passed a lot of time. I don't know what it was about it either. Like looking back, I can't remember why I enjoyed it. But I remember working a long day in the garden to get earn enough pocket money to go and buy Pokemon Blue. And then I remember having a couple of friends around for hours at a time to actually connect our Game Boy Classics with a cable and transfer Pokemon back and forth. And now I just look back and go, why did I do that? Like it doesn't seem like a good use of time, but for some reason it felt like fun back then. So,
but you know what is a good use of time? Pokemon Snap for the N64. Did you guys play that one?
Is that where you take a photo of your Pokemon and they disappear after 10 seconds?
No, not Pokemon Snapchat. That's different. No, Pokemon Snap. It was a cool game for the N64. I still have it. If you guys want to play it, come over and we'll play next week.
Cool. I'll come over next week.
And that concludes Tech You Should Use this week.
This week's Tech Reformation is brought to you by Olive Tree. If you want some sophisticated Bible study software, but don't want to spend thousands on the big guy, Olive Tree is absolutely for you. And today, as we release this podcast, it is John Calvin's birthday. So if you have heard of John Calvin, if you've been into Calvinism for a while, but you don't actually know a whole lot about him or haven't, you know, read a lot of his stuff, now's a perfect opportunity to do that. On Olive Tree, they've got all of Calvin's commentaries. They've got Calvin's Institutes on here. And they have plenty of people commenting on John Calvin and his theology as well. The great thing about reading these books, these commentaries and Institutes on Olive Tree, is that if there are references to the Bible, you can instantly look them up. You can tap on the little, you know, the little linky there, and it will take you right to that, you know, Bible passage, or it'll pop up that note, or you can have it split screen so that you can read, you know, the commentaries on one side and your favorite Bible translation of choice on the other. It makes it very easy for Bible study. And it's really convenient on the iPad and iPhone and Mac and PC, and for the Android folks as well. There's so many great resources for you to find, and you can get 20% off with our coupon code TRP16. Thank you to Olive Tree for sponsoring this week's show.
Have you ever really wondered why we spend so much time watching movies or shows on television? Why do we read the newspaper to find out what so-and-so did last night at the county meetings, or to discover the reaction after ninth inning heroics from a rookie ball player? Why do we turn on the news to find out who died? I would contend mostly because we care about the lives of leaders. And if you want to discover some great testimonies from Christian leaders around the world, there's no better place to turn than to Christian Devotion Speak Up. On this show, you'll hear stories from Christian performing artists like Jordan Feliz, Twyla Paris, and Aaron Schust. You'll hear gripping sports stories from Hall of Famers like Buffalo Bill quarterback Jim Kelly, Kirk Cousins, and All-Star Trot Nixon. You'll hear from authors on their books, and this show has theology from pastors like Ray Comfort and Charles Stanley. Go to ChristianDevotionSpeakUp.com or the Christian Devotion Speak Up Facebook page, iTunes, Stitcher, and check out all of these podcasts. If testimonies matter to you, then be encouraged by a show that makes this a focal point. Christian Devotion, speak up.
So for Theology from the Headlines this week, we'll be discussing Brexit. So for those who don't know, on the off chance that there are some, the Brexit is referring to when Great Britain was part of the EU, and I guess technically they still are part of the EU. However, there was a referendum where all the people in the UK voted, should we stay in the EU or should we leave? And a small majority, I think it was like 52%, voted to leave. And so now they are going through the process of exiting the EU. So I'm guessing you've
heard about this. The EU.
Of Brexiting the EU. So what interested us this week, what we'd like to talk about, is we saw an article from the Washington Post, but the article was based off of a tweet from Google. And the tweet from Google was a 250% spike in what happens if we leave the EU in the past hour. And it's important to note that the past hour was 8 hours after the vote had been announced to pass for leaving. So there's just a huge influx of people in the United Kingdom. These aren't like people in the United States that are saying, oh, this happened. What is it? In the United Kingdom, those people who made the vote or potentially should have made the vote are now being like, oh, this happened. What does that mean for me? And so we definitely want to get into that. But just briefly, I thought I could just mention very, very basics, because I'm not a politics guy or British, of what the EU is and what the vote was about for those who may not know. Do you guys have any concept of the EU at all, or is it just an organization out there?
Craig, you're kind of a British person, right? You can explain this.
Oh my gosh, I wanted to say, hey Craig, Australia's in the EU, right? But I was afraid you guys wouldn't realize it for the joke that it is. The faces Craig is making right now are unbearably funny.
No, I'm not.
No.
Perfect. I could speak like a British person if you want me to, but I'm not actually British. You know what I mean?
Dead horse.
Okay, we're going to get distracted if we don't get off of this.
Horse and horse.
So I had no real concept of what the EU was either. And honestly, I don't think I had any concept of what the UK was either. I just thought maybe it was England. So saying that will help you know that I'm not the best qualified to teach on these things. But I read an article from the BBC that was trying to explain it. And it was really helpful. And so just a real quick brief overview. The EU was started by France and Germany right after World War II. They're like, hey, maybe we should stop fighting each other and make friends. And so they made friends. And then a whole bunch of other countries were like, hey, maybe we could make friends too. And so they signed up, all about trading and money. And then over time, there were 28 countries that over the past 60 years, it was 55 when France and Germany started. So over the past 60 years, an additional 26 have joined. So basically all it means for the countries is that people can move without visas. Like someone in France can now go start a business in Germany without getting a visa. There's free trade, there's free movement. There's probably a lot of other stuff. The governments get together and make laws. So there is the laws that the EU makes that all the nations have to abide by on top of just the nation's laws. Mm-hmm. That's a very general overview. Definitely check out that article if you want to know more. It was really helpful for me getting the concept. But the UK, they decided like I pictured it like whenever you're part of a band, like a pop band, and there's four members, and then one member thinks, man, if I go solo, I could do so much better. These people are just weighing me down. That's Britain.
They were just like, how many just pop bands have you been in, Tank?
Well,
the most pop bands.
We're going to need proof. I showed you proof of the pinstripes, so.
I'm part of one called These Guys, because I thought it'd be hilarious to say, all right, these guys are going to be on stage next, or have you heard of these guys? Yeah. So that's our worship band's official name. But
that's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, they left. So that's a brief overview. Do you guys have any questions based off that?
So why are we talking about this on Tech Reformation?
Yeah. Good question.
Okay. So what I thought would be interesting to discuss is so such an important vote to leave, as we just discussed everything that means and what they went through. And then all these people are now Googling what is the EU even? There is some reason why this happened, why people didn't know, even though this was such a huge issue. And I thought it could be correlated just to life in general and even the church. So the main thing I wanted to talk about were, I thought of two reasons that could be at blame. Like, why after this was announced, was there a sudden spike in what is Brexit? What is the EU? What can I do? Where can I vote? These kind of questions began to Google after it was already too late. And so the first reason I thought was that the people in charge, so I guess in this case the government, perhaps could have used technology better to let people know what was going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, to help them know the answers to these questions. It's a little too late now to get the answers to the questions.
Yeah.
So in what ways the government possibly could have used technology better to get those questions answered to the public? And so I thought it'd be an interesting discussion to hear for perhaps the church. Do you think there's anything maybe going on in your local church, not necessarily your local church, but just the local church in general, or if you think of the church at large, like in what ways can we use technology better to help our church members know important questions, know the questions they need to be asking, and know the answers to those questions, rather than it being too late. So this can be as simple as whatever, a potluck dinner, and nobody knew that it was going to happen until the time for the potluck dinner was there, and now the food's cold, or to as big as whatever you want to talk about. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
But specifically within local churches, is that what you're saying?
I was thinking first it would be interesting to talk about that in the context of churches. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I've got one. I don't know how profound it is, but my previous church, so my wife and I have just moved churches from a Armenian church to a Reformed church, which is awesome. But at my previous church, I was kind of the creative media guy, I guess, did all the promotional stuff, logos and stuff for the screens and whatever every week. And as part of that, we were looking at better ways to communicate with people in the community and like you said, Tank, inform people about things when they needed to know them rather than a week too late or something. So we put together a church app. And I don't want to go heaps far into it, but we used the Subsplash system and had the benefit of being able to direct message everyone who had it and you know, highlight things as soon as they were happening or just before things were happening. We could say, hey, just remember this is on, or, you know, there's this cause that we're supporting this week or whatever it is. We were able to just kind of get the message out there pretty quickly to people's phones through like a push notification type thing. So that was one example. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? Like as a single example?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just thinking, is there, like, what kind of things do you guys feel like the church could do better at getting that kind of information out? So, yeah, that's a good example. And then how can we solve that? And in that case, you got an app.
I thought of, I've been thinking as you were talking, Craig, and as Tank was asking the question and helping clarify, I thought of three things. Two of them might not be very good. Maybe all three of them aren't very good. Maybe all three of them are awesome. Okay, here we go. I thought of three things. First off, I thought of, with my church, a few, maybe weeks ago now, we were switching our podcast of our sermons over from one service to another. We were on Podomatic. We wanted to move it to, I think, Subsplash, because they can host. We do an app through Subsplash also, as Craig mentioned. And they can host podcasts now. And so it's like, oh, it'd be great if we had one spot that we could update all of these things at once. Cause it'd be really convenient for the staff, which, yeah, that's great. Rather than updating the podcast in its own location. So unfortunately, just by the nature of sort of technology-ish things, when you make transitions like that, things break and take a little bit longer to get fixed than you'd like sometimes. Particularly when you move podcast feeds in, iTunes, it takes like at least 24 hours for it to sort of refresh. And then you also have to, depending on how it works, you have to, have everyone resubscribe to the new feed or whatever, right? And so what I noticed,
That is ridiculous, by the way. They need to fix that. They need to have some way where it can automatically transfer existing subscribers across in iTunes. But anyway, continue.
Okay.
I don't know how that works.
Quick side note. There is kind of a way. There's a tag that you can use that is like you redirect people to a different feed.
Yes, I've seen that.
But, yeah. It doesn't work with most podcast directories. Some directories, use it, some don't, which is annoying. But anyway, there's kind of a way to do it, but it's convoluted.
As my previous pastor was fond of saying, we just got lost down the rabbit trail of the illustration.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
But that's all right.
That was my fault.
It's great. The specific scenario that I brought up was brought up to say this. When we were in that sort of interim period of a few days or weeks or whatever it was, that the podcast was down. It wasn't being updated with the latest sermons, okay? Which is problematic for people who subscribe to the podcast. Members of the church want to hear the sermons if they're not able to be there, right? And to me, that may be one of, if not the most important, sort of content things that goes on that we need to get out to our members, like you're talking about, Tank, is the sermon every week. It's a mission critical thing, right? Maybe not the most important, but certainly one of the most important things. And so if the podcast is down and that's your one spot that you go to get that information, you just don't get it anymore. And that's a problem. But like at my church, we have three spots that you can get the latest sermon: the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. And so what we found was that people would say, "Hey, the podcast is down. Can you help me?" And we would always just respond, "Well, there's good news. We have three places you can get the podcast: on the website, the mobile app, or the podcast." Sorry, three ways you can get the sermon. And so, you can just go check one of those if one of them is down. And so to me, like, that's a good example of doing something positive that you can't, just something small to help get the word out there, even if something breaks. But the reason I bring it up is it feels like people might, almost in the Brexit way, right? People might be so set in their ways of how they do things that when something has to be done another way, it's sort of an uncomfortable thing that we have to sort of go through. And we aren't easily, if you're like me, we aren't easily ready to do that. And so that example, just as one of the three, it seems more on, it feels like the church is doing what they can do to get the word out, but we as the congregation aren't doing what we can do to be easy to receive that word, if you will. And so I can see it both ways. Does that make sense? Does that seem at all related to what you're asking?
And I think if anything, what Brexit provides as an example for us is that people are lazy and then like realize, oh no, people are freaking out about this. Maybe I should find out what it is I just voted for,
And in the worst case, yeah.
So people are set in their ways and they're lazy and they don't really want to do, find other solutions to problems that they see.
Or,
and I don't know if that's by nature of every human being, but it certainly is by nature of those in our sort of cultural context where, you know, the global West, we live very comfortable lives compared to the rest of the world and compared certainly to the rest of human history. And so we typically have things just served to us very easily. We don't have to do much work. And when we do, it's like unusual and out of the ordinary and uncomfortable. And so we don't really like that. And I say we firmly because I'm part of that. Like that, I see that in myself more than I see it in anybody else. And so it's not a good thing, you know?
Having said that, there's not a lot of work involved in downloading an app for your church or something so that you can stay in contact with what your church is trying to get out there.
True. Yeah, I agree.
And that's just one example. But I must admit, it must depend, I guess, on context and the people involved. I was always surprised at our church that, for example, some of the fastest uptake was amongst the 70 plus year olds of the app, because they if they were sick or something and they couldn't make it every week, and they all seemed to buy iPads because the buttons were big enough for them to touch without touching the wrong thing. And we had more than one occasion where an elderly woman or man would pull up their Bible during the sermon and accidentally hit the read the Bible to me and be like talking really loud while the guy was preaching. But the point is that that sort of part of the community actually was really keen to take up the new technology because they saw the benefits for them and how it would meet their needs, whereas I think some of the younger people kind of went, oh, yeah, we've already got enough of that going on. We don't need more messaging in our lives. We don't need more communication. So, in that way, that was where the laziness probably came in, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the example I used of the multiple ways to get sermons, it's funny because our metrics may be really off. You know, you got a church of 1,000 people, right? And you only hear from the dozen people who, hey, the podcast feed isn't working, right? You don't hear from the possible dozens versus maybe even hundreds, right, of people who just know that there are three ways to get the sermon, and when one's broken, they go to the other because they know that that's how it works. You know, you don't hear people say, hey, this worked well for me. You typically hear people say, hey, why is this broken? Which, I mean, to some extent, that makes sense. But, you know, there's also part of that is we sort of express our frustration about the bad things a lot more than we express our excitement about the good things. But you know, the metrics may be skewed is the only reason I bring that up with my illustration. The other side that I thought about was on the part of the local church, how do you get information out there, in the best way, or maybe in the most ways, most effective, I guess we could say, so that people receive what they need when they need it and have it or know where to go to get it, right? And what I think about is, you know, sort of on the flip side, we might, eagerly put out information in ways that we want to receive it or would receive it and not think about other ways that people get certain things and want to receive certain things. So a specific example, I know we do announcements at the end of the service. And sometimes if something really big is happening that week, it'll be announced, you know, 2 weeks beforehand and maybe the week before and probably won't be mentioned other than that. And so it's like, what other format could we put that in? Is it a website? Usually it's on the website. Is it a bulletin? Is it a newsletter? Is it all of those things? So that we can get that word out so that people have it or can get access to it when they need it. That was sort of the flip side I thought of as you were asking your question, Tank.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what we've talked about is a lot. What I was kind of wanting to get at some is I think it's easy in the, like, to look at the Brexit situation and think, oh, those people are stupid. They should have researched this more. Surely they heard about it. And honestly, I think in this situation, they probably did hear about it, and it was more the people's laziness. But I thought it would be good to point out that, especially in a church context, that some churches, maybe smaller churches that don't have money or just more relaxed, laid-back churches, whatever, and probably even some big churches, that there could be communication on the leadership's end where it's just not being communicated well, as you guys were expressing, that there's that putting it out in multiple formats for multiple people and making it as easy as possible is something that we should really take the time to think about. Is this event being put where people can see it, or are we only mentioning it on Facebook in a group that we publicized for a month and so we only have a very small fraction of the church in? Just examples like that. How are we displaying information, and is it worth getting something like an app, like Craig mentioned, or having someone who's in charge of technology and making sure that person is constantly looking for how can we inform the church better? And so, of course, that requires conversations within the leadership of the church, and maybe not all of us have the role in the church to change that, but at least as we get our minds thinking towards that and looking for ways we can step up as tech people and benefit our church, hopefully that we can see those ways in our own church where we can be a blessing to the community by serving them better with just methods of communication.
Just briefly wanted to go back in the conversation just shortly to talk about something that Ben was mentioning. He was saying that within church communities, we seem to often you hear from the people who are having problems with something as opposed to the people for whom everything's working smoothly. And just an encouragement to all of us, I think, in church circles, and some people are probably already very good at this. But with your pastor, encourage them. If they preach a good message, definitely tell them that they preach a good message. I know pastors. I know quite a few pastors. I have pastors in my family, and they don't seek that, that appreciation. But I think it's the same for them. A lot of the time, someone will come up to them with a problem or something that they want to question or whatever, some issue they want to take with something, even if it's not very well grounded. And they'll hear that. That's the first thing after they've finished preaching a message that they've spent time preparing and that they feel is from God for the church that week. So just an encouragement to not be the people who always look for the negative, but to encourage particularly the pastors in our churches who are doing their best to shepherd their people for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's what it comes back to for me is loving your neighbor and serving your people well. And I think, as Christians, I don't want to sound like I'm grumbling at the disgruntled people, right? To me, it seems like we ought to assume, man, where have I gone wrong here? Have I gone wrong here? Where have I gone wrong here? How can I be reconciled to my brother and sister, right? Because we know ourselves and we know our sinful nature. And certainly as Reformed people, we know total depravity. And so it's like, man, let me really evaluate my life first, right? The log and the speck before I try to evaluate somebody else's. Do you guys have any recos this week?
I have one, and this is in relationship to, well, actually, I didn't talk about it, the OS 10 public beta being released this week, but the OS 10 public beta is, not OS 10, sorry, dang it, Mac OS.
OS X. Oh, Mac OS, my
Mac
bad.
Mac OS. I mean, there's no 10 versus X controversy anymore. I'm so happy. No, it's Mac OS Sierra. The public beta has been released. And I am going to recommend roaringapps.com. Roaring Apps. Man, that's harder to say when you're trying to enunciate it. But anyway, it's in the show notes. You can find it. So what this is it's basically a crowdsourced application compatibility website. So you can search for your Mac or Windows or iOS application on here and see if it is compatible with the latest betas of 10.12 Sierra or iOS 10 or, that kind of stuff.
That is cool.
It is very cool. However, not many people have put in information for the Sierra beta yet. So... if you're on the Sierra beta, please go list all the apps that you have and whether it's to their compatibility, because I really want to try the beta, but I can't break my podcasting machine. So, yeah. But anyway.
I, too, have a recommendation. And let me preface this one. Amazon Basics is cool. I guess Amazon is into hardware, and they've branded their line of hardware, lots of things, technology things, I think also like furniture things, as Amazon Basics. And I risked it a few weeks ago with a phone charger. I have an iPhone, and usually phone chargers, third-party phone chargers for iPhones are pretty terrible, and they break within a few weeks or so. People who have iPhones know what I mean. But the trouble is,
the sort of Apple iPhone charger thing is $30 for only a 3-foot cord. Mm-hmm. So I risked it, and I got an $8 or $9 Amazon Basics phone charger that was 6 feet long, and it's been great. I've had no issue with it. So I thought, I'll give it another try. I want a dash mount for my car, you know, one that you can put on the windshield, and I got the Amazon Basics one, and it is great also. So now I'm just going to kind of default to checking Amazon Basics first. But yeah, I want to recommend the dash mount. If you don't have one, or if you don't have a little, you know, console icon in your car, this is a great way to just use your phone for that. And, it's been great so far. I've only had it for a few days, but I am loving it and so glad I got it. It was only like $12 or $13, so pretty cheap. And if you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack team. Sign up for free at slack.techreformation.com.
Follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation for Tech You Should Know throughout the week. And, you know, we post our episodes there. So it's a nice little reminder, you know, Sunday at 2 o'clock. Hey, we have a new episode. So check that out.
You can also visit our website, techreformation.com, to search for past shows and topics. And if you really wanted to, you can also leave a donation there. So if you appreciate what you hear and you want to help us keep doing it, you can do that as well.
And you can always email us at ask@techreformation.com with questions, comments, feedbacks, whatever. We'd love to hear it.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. You can check out their website and their iTunes master feed down in the show notes.
And don't forget to recommend us on Overcast and review us on iTunes with a 5-star rating, please. Thank you. If you like this music you're listening to, it is used by special permission of Mr. Matthew Parker, and we're grateful to him for his songs.
He is releasing a new album sometime this year, which I'm super excited about. He just announced it on his Facebook page. So look forward to that.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's good. One other thing I wanted to add, if I could, very briefly, jumping back about 2 minutes, Ben was talking about the fact that in churches, we often hear more from the disgruntled people than from the people for whom everything is going smoothly.
You mean the gruntled people?
And that just
people?
Seems to be disgruntled.
No, you're disgruntled. You have disgruntled people and you have gruntled people. I'm sorry. That wasn't probably worth stopping for the joke. Please continue.
Derek. Thank you for doing that anyway.
Sorry, grunted people.